Second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Mr. Chairman, before the vote, I will abstain from P37.
Okay. Let the record reflect Commissioner Landgraf's abstention. At this time, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? They are hereby adopted. And we will move on to the next portion of our business. Tonight, there was a schedule in our end application of several applications. However, there's been some changes, cancellations by the applicants. At this time, I'll have our solicitor discuss those and future dates when they may be heard.
Leo? Sure. Okay, so the application of Joel and Tamar Port for 6801 Atlantic Avenue and the Jacob Winograd application of 5501 Winchester Avenue. Both applicants requested that they be adjourned to the next or to a future date. Carmela tells me that I believe the Port one is already confirmed for the 9th.
Yes.
Winograd would be our 5th. I don't know if the board has any thoughts on that. Having 5 applications on December 9th, it doesn't matter to me. Mr. Callahan's here. You'd prefer the 9th, ideally?
Okay. All right. Mr. Callahan, I will have to say we have 5 applications. So we're capitated till 11 o'clock. And if we cannot, you can go on the agenda, but if the way it works out. Okay. So you understand that you may not be heard if the agenda, if the cases go over. So with that, you can be. Your request is to be scheduled to the 9th?
Yes.
Okay.
And Mr. Cook, just for purposes of the record, so if anyone's here on the in person or on the Zoom call for the application of Joel and Tamar Port, 6801 Atlantic Avenue, that's block 76, lot 1, that will be heard on December 9th, 6:30 p.m. There's a decent possibility that it will be Zoom only. So check the website and contact Carmela, as there will be new Zoom log information for the December 9th meeting. The applicant will not be required to republish or renotice. And then the same with the application of Jacob Winograd, 5501 Winchester Avenue, which is block 108, lot 1. That will be heard now on December 9th at 6:30 p.m. Again, there's a possibility it'll be Zoom only. If it's hybrid, obviously it'll also be in this room, but if it's Zoom only, it will only be on Zoom and you'll need the new Zoom information. So, you know, check our website and contact Carmela. We will get that posted. The applicant will not be required to republish or renotice. So December 9th for both of those applications, 6:30 p.m.
Okay. This time we'll proceed with the remaining application, that of Gary and Linda Goldsmith, 107 South Newark Avenue. If you could, the applicant who's going to be presenting, if you come up, please, and be sworn. And whoever else is going to testify, be sworn also.
State your name and address, and I'll get you sworn.
In front of the microphone, please.
Gary Goldsmith, 107 South Newark Avenue.
And Mr. Goldsmith, please raise your right hand. You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Do you think you're going to do the talking for on behalf of the application, or is anyone else?
Yes, I brought my daughters, Jack and Alyssa, with me, but I think it's
okay. If they need to chime in, we'll get them sworn in.
Okay.
But until then, that's fine. We'll get our board engineer and planner, Mr. McLaren, sworn in. Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Goldsmith has to be sworn in. Yeah.
I swear.
You're sworn in?
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Okay. All right. Now, the first order of business on this one, Leo, I'm going to turn it over to you, is the issues of the race judicata issues here. We'll discuss that with Mr. Goldsmith first before proceeding with the application.
Okay. And for Mr. Goldsmith and for the board, we actually dealt with this relatively recently. There was a denial. There was an application for this property that came before our, or it was then the zoning board in 2000, 7th. And at least according to the written resolution, they were denied a rear yard setback of 2.2 feet and building coverage of 62.3 feet. In order, and I'm reading right to it, in order, and 62.3%, in order to legalize the enclosure of a pre-existing stairway that was constructed without obtaining the requisite approvals. The Goldsmiths did, in fact, disclose that in their application. So they were forthcoming as far as disclosing that. That, again, raises this issue of res judicata, which basically says that you don't get a second bite of the apple if the board, and it's a board's determination, determines that the current application is substantially the same as what was denied in 2007. And I'll just give the board a quick brief recap. The elements when we're dealing with res judicata to consider are, and they're somewhat overrelated, but the overriding theme is whether this application, the current one, is basically the same as what was already denied, which means they don't get another shot at it. But the elements are the second application is substantially similar. The second application, meaning this one, is substantially similar to the first, meaning the one that was denied. The same parties or privies are involved. That is the case here. I can tell you that the Goldsmiths were the applicants in 2007, and they are also today. That there must be no substantial change in the application itself or conditions surrounding the property. There must have been an adjudication on the merits in the first case, which that I can tell you that there was because it was denied. And then both applications involve the same causes of action. And I'll just briefly read in the Cox treatise that the one simplest example is that he puts forth. Here's an example. It says, if an applicant files an application seeking to erect a building within 5 feet of a property line and the variance is denied, neither the applicant nor a succeeding owner may file an application seeking exactly the same kind of relief. On the other hand, if the second application seeks to erect a building 10 feet from the property line, then the same relief is not being sought and the matter would not be res judicata. So that's sort of some background.
Leo, say the first part again. I don't know if you said that clear. I didn't understand the first part of it. Where you said if it was 5 feet.
If an applicant files an application seeking to erect a building within 5 feet of a front property line or a property line, and that is denied, then the applicant nor a succeeding property owner may file an application seeking exactly the same kind of relief. On the other hand, if they go from 5 feet and move it to 10 feet, that's a different application. Okay, so I guess we can turn it over to the applicant and see if he has any, or if the board has any questions for the applicant, or if the applicant can kind of explain why what's different about what happened.
Leo, before you start, could I ask, are you saying that if it's greater than 5 feet, he's allowed to go forward?
No.
That was just an example. So everyone kind of understood the concept.
We haven't started any testimony in this case.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with 5 feet.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay. So I guess we should turn it over to, we can turn it over to Mr. Goldsmith. And what, can you tell us what happened in 2007 versus what's different now?
So saying strictly currently staying on point with the differences, correct?
I mean, you have to basically convince the board that why this should proceed.
I understand. So I should just point out the differences at this point, because that's your question, correct?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So my four major differences between the original time and currently is on my original drawings, which I have here back from 2007, if anybody would like to see them, shows an existing pantry to remain. And the addition was 21 feet, 10 inches. Current, when I say the addition, the full enclosure addition. And on the new drawings, it's 12 foot, 2 inches. So that's two of the significant differences, where the existing pantry is remaining where it was going to be removed. And the addition is now 12 foot, 2 inches.
Pardon me 1 second. What was going to be, I can't understand what you said. The existing what was going, I can't understand that word.
I'm sorry. Okay. On my original variance application,
right,
The addition was going to be 21 feet, 10 inches long, and the existing pantry was going to be removed, and we're going to build a complete enclosure.
Right.
So the difference now with those are, the addition is, instead of being 21 foot 10, is only 12 foot 2 inches, and the existing pantry is remaining, and we're just going to extend that footprint down to the basement. So that's actually two of the four significant differences. The third one was the third other two, which may not be as significant, is that the original variance drawings had windows in there, and the windows are out. So that's number three. And number four is there's a change in the foundation work currently versus what was being planned back in 2007, which is minute, but it's still a difference. So that's the four differences that I have to present tonight.
Mark. Okay, where is the pantry? There's a door that comes out of the building to the stairway.
Okay. To the top of the stairs. Actually, a picture may be better if you don't mind.
Yeah, I don't know where what you're talking about.
Okay. I prepare the best I can. I also have drawings, but right now the pantry is this door here that comes upstairs from the basement or down to the basement, and then the pantry is this area here behind it that is roughly 10 foot deep. So in the original, this was all coming out, and there was going to be one complete enclosure. I probably have one more picture that might help a little bit.
And these were submitted with the application, right? These
yes.
Pictures. Okay.
All right. I don't know if it's the exact ones, if not similar, okay. I'm sure, but
I just know that. Okay.
I just figured better rather than a 3x5 or whatever it might be to be able to show it a little larger.
Yeah. I agree.
This is also the existing pantry here. This is the door that I just showed you. This is the balance of the pantry at this point here. So originally, all this was out and it was a full addition. And now I'm just going to leave. If I'm granted, the pantry will remain, the exterior door will remain, and it will just become a doorway down to an enclosure rather than have the open area here down to the basement.
Now, if the existing pantry stays, is that whole structure 21 feet?
If the existing pantry is going to remain, yes. Then the whole structure, the existing structure plus the new structure would be 21 feet.
So my question is, by not changing it, you have the same footprint as you had applied for before.
Yes, sir.
And the dimensions don't change. Dimensions don't change one bit.
No, sir.
So how's that different?
Because originally I was doing construction for the whole area, and now I'm just doing construction for in front of the pantry, just as the enclosure for over the open area.
But the chair just asked if the total width of the structure is 21 feet. That's not changing.
That is correct.
So what was the 12 foot two then?
That's the open stairwell.
That's right. 12 foot two. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's the open stairwell.
The open stairwell area. I'm not touching anything back from the 12 foot two that I'm now.
You were in the previous application, you were.
Yes, sir, the whole thing.
Is that roof line over that pantry changing? It looks like a continuation of the new roof line.
That is the goal. Right now there's an awning here. The goal is to continue that same roof line down. I can change it, I can do whatever needs to be done. But
same roof line down or pitch down and then back up?
The proposed roof line is going to be the same.
There's nothing showing the existing roof line of that pantry. Or is there? I'm looking at the real elevation on this plan here, and it's showing a single slope.
Yes, to continue that elevation that's there now with the current pantry roof.
So that's what's there existing now in the pantry.
Currently, yes, but back in 2007, it was a completely new roof.
Have an elevation. Who's that?
So,
I'm having a hard time seeing a differentiation.
I can't see a difference in it because the dimensions haven't changed, and the only thing is that the principal area of being constructed still is just an addition to what was proposed at that time. So you're adding on to what was proposed, or a change of proposed, which was just a replacement of what existed. So the same footprint still exists, and the same and everything still is the same.
The two variances being requested are identical as what was denied before.
And it's rear yard setback, right?
And building
right. And building them.
Right. So
and the rear yard setback hasn't changed.
I'm sorry, excuse me?
The rear yard setback hasn't changed.
It would not, no. And so, I'm looking at, Roger sent out the copy of the previous resolution to us, which is helpful. I mean, the two concerns that were raised, was it raised by the fire official or... trying to see. Dangerous situation created by the construction is obvious from the documentation submitted. So I don't know. I'm not seeing anything that's making that any better. Because now you only have 2.2 feet from that rear of the building, the addition, to the property line. And that's, I mean, we all have small backyards. I think I have 4 or 5 feet in mine, but that's existing when the house was built. So it's 2.2 feet. 0.2 is what, Roger? An inch and a half?
An inch is 0.8.
No, it's about 2.25 inches.
Yeah.
So it's just over 2 feet wide.
That condition, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I mean, that condition doesn't change because this area here was 12 foot deep. And again, the picture of the render may not be able to help you, but it's still the same that it's been since for 25 years. So that distance didn't change. It's the only difference is where this railing is. I'm just looking to enclose this for safety reasons.
What safety reasons?
One is that I've been robbed multiple times at my house, home invasions, and they've all come through this door here, and it's been reported to the Ventnor police and it's on record. I also end up, when I come down and I go out back, I have beer cans and bottle cans in the back because it's a great place for kids to hang out or whoever to hang out and drink back there because it's out of sight, out of mind from anybody.
Who's this, Newark?
Yes, sir.
Huh. I guess it's dead space because your garage goes back to the property line. And all
correct.
Do you have an internal entrance to the basement inside the house?
Do I have what? I'm sorry.
An entrance to the basement inside the house?
No, sir.
That's the only entrance.
The other one is right. Both of them are external. You have this one here and you have one that is behind. If you walk out the garage door or walk around, there's 5 or 6 steps here to go down to the basement also. That one is very rarely used.
It's hard to get to.
Yes, sir. Hard to get to. The steps are a little from the age of the concrete or not level.
It's also hard to get through because you have to traverse that area where there's a reduced rear yard.
Either that, yes, sir. Either that or you would go through the back of the garage.
Oh, so there's a door at the back of the garage to get in there?
Yes. But you would go out that door outside and then go down.
I mean, I guess we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. We're stuck on the... We're jammed up, Mr. Goldsmith, is... that if I was looking at this application fresh, this hadn't, what we try and do as a board and a municipality is not second guess a decision that was made 13 years ago. And I don't think anybody on this board was on that zoning board.
Mike Wiesner.
Mike and Lorraine, but she's not here.
So what we try not to do is second guess what they said.
Understood.
So I'm having a hard time getting how the circumstances or something has to significantly change to reopen this application. And from my mind, I'm not getting there yet. I'm trying to find something else that would help me get there. And I'm not. I get your problem with burglary. I'll talk to the police department again and see if they can do something. But you know, it's a tough spot. They can't get back there themselves to do anything.
And then what I do have, and not that it matters at all, and should not come into play. At all, here's an overhead view of the area, which has the pantry roof. And then I have my setback here, and it's similar to the setback that my neighbor has. Also, not that one counts for the other, right? At all.
Neighbor's is 3 feet from the fence.
Okay. Again, similar. I don't know what it is. And then if you go behind my house and then you look across, this is similar to what I'm asking for, which is the basement entrance, except I'm not looking for a outside door to go down it either. So it's just very similar to what's there next door.
There's no internal access to that basement. That's
no, sir.
Is it this? I'm trying to look at it on Google Earth here. And it looks like an old Dutch colonial house.
There was an interior entrance back in 2000, I believe. I'd have to check my notes, but I believe 2004, and that internal entrance was taken out, and the external entrance was used.
Right. This house was probably built in the 30s.
1906, I believe.
Yeah, I was going to say, earlier than that.
Okay, because a lot of the houses were built in the 30s and before.
Right. I actually, not that it matters, but when I was taking things apart, I found a Atlantic City playbill from a show and a newspaper from 1906.
You find anybody's lunch?
I did. If I did, it's for a long one.
Yeah, there's a lot of lunch bags that get in those walls, too.
Understood.
I found McKinley shot in front of the newspaper in my house.
Oh, geez.
In the original decision or resolution, it makes a statement that the building permit dated October 1st, 2004 was submitted. So that must have been when they got rid of the internal stairs.
Yes, sir. And I have those original documents with me, both the drawings that show the demolition and the new drawings. I did not have that at my original variance meeting, which I found out after the fact it would have been in my best interest to have it with me to be more prepared.
Is there another way to have you talked to an architect about a way to do this maybe differently? That look, if anything,
put the stairs inside.
Our administration and the direction we've tried to encourage our planning board to go forward with is we're development friendly. We want to be that way. And that's what we've done for the last 5 years within reason. And so I'm trying to find a way where we can help you with your situation.
No, I appreciate that.
And I can't get over that. I don't want to step on the zoning board's toes from 2007.
I think we're all feeling the same way. We're looking at it and saying, well, we basically had the same problems that they had then, you know, so the same application.
What I'm trying to say is there an architectural way to change this? That you can say, all right, I did this to change it. This to me is just shortening or it doesn't get me there. What you're trying to do.
You have a front porch that sits back quite a distance away and it'd be just next to the garage. I don't know what's in your house and so on, but when I visited your property today.
Yes, sir.
So I spent some time there looking at it, looking at solutions. And I was wondering is if from the front porch, is there a way to get in and get down? Because you have a door on the other side, it's on the outside. But the reciprocal of that would be on the all coming off your porch and going down.
Well, if you didn't go into the house, you would be going into the garage, which would put you in the same position as before. Then you would be going out back and you would have to go around because those steps that are there, or you could go down those steps that are there also, but you would still be going outside to go in either way.
But you could go from the garage to the basement internally.
No, you'd have to go outside to the back door of the garage, then go out and then go down the back steps.
But we're talking about architectural solutions and other solutions that would solve your problem of eliminating security problems and so on. One of the ways to do that, one of the routes to do that would be from that area going in through the garage and down into the basement. And in that way, that's what builders do. I don't know if it's viable or not because I haven't seen it.
I would think, and I am not here to argue, I would think that where the garage enters to the edge of the, do you mind?
Go ahead.
Okay, with this being the garage, I believe what you're talking about is something over here to go down. And I don't,
where's your front porch?
Front porch is this right here.
Okay.
I don't believe the distance from here to here would grant you enough space for the 12 or 13 steps that you would need or whatever.
It wouldn't. You'd go from the garage floor, the 12 or 13 steps down into the basement. And the steps are not in the garage at all. They're in the basement.
Into here, you're saying?
Yes, they're in the basement. The basement steps are normally built. And there wouldn't be 13 steps because you're down lower from the ground. So there'd be about 9 or 10.
Well, the let me get back to this page. So currently, when you come back out here, then you go down here to some steps. So you're saying to create an opening here to go down.
Yeah, you eliminate the door. And you come in through the garage or off from the porch and down and go right in, make L and go into right into the basement.
So there's, if I understand you correctly, there's not enough headroom here to go in and down here without having to bend down and get underneath. The floor for the first floor versus the elevation of the grade here is roughly, I'm going to say, 4 feet. So you're actually starting on ground level at four feet. So you'd have to get down underneath to get down.
So that's what they do. That's what they put headers in back further and do a slope and come down. Something similar to what you're doing now. I mean, it's built all the time. We built numbers of them like that.
I understand what you're saying. And
with the proper egress.
I understand what you're saying. So but the suggestion then would be if anything you have, you'd have to go outside the front door, go through the garage to go in to go down. Am I correct?
You have its own separate entrance, possibly. An architect should look at it, and it could have its own potential entrance to it. Peter, am I off the wrong track there?
I understand what you're saying. What do you use the basement for?
Washing machine, dryer is down there. The mechanics are down there.
So you're trying to make an ease of access without leaving the house. As right. opposed to going to the garage and then...
Correct.
Do you have access to the garage from the house?
No.
I think that's the crux of the issue.
Right.
They can even stay in the house and be in the basement.
They could even put a circular stair going down. Going into it.
The other issue that I would have here is that when it rains, right, currently, everything gets wet. The steps get wet. When it freezes, when it's cold out, it freezes, and then it becomes slippery down those steps, which is another reason.
Conversation had about the formal we were just talking about. Right. That's a concern. We get that.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to look at ways. I mean, those wells and things, they're always a problem.
I guess. I'm sorry.
They're always a problem. And I'm trying to, I do believe there's an architectural solution going in without doing that back area, that would maybe like make your life better.
My question would be then, with the four changes that were made to the original variance application, that can be considered a substantial enough of a change to be able to apply to whatever this gentleman's reference was, I guess. Race to the paddle.
Oh.
And I'm not a lawyer by any means, so you're way over my head.
I don't think the internal changes change the effect on that.
Mr. Goldsmith was referring to his application where he said he made four changes to this that was separated from the original application.
Those to me didn't quite get there.
Right.
But what I would you be willing to table tonight, maybe talk to a builder, Have you talked to anybody like that other than just your own ideas on this? Or?
I talked to the architect that made up the drawing that you was currently submitted with my package.
I'm trying to find it.
And without putting steps in the middle of my kitchen and having to move my island and just everything else,
it right.
really is not a viable position at this point.
Yeah.
It's back in 2007, I tried to look at other options.
So that garage is not used as a garage anymore, right?
Excuse me?
Your garage is not used as a garage anymore.
Right? No, it's just got a set of double doors. It's more used to store the bikes, shelving, the kids' toys.
Then you can just go right down with that. Okay. Then if that's the case, the headroom can be taken out of the garage floor. You just drop it right, down. Put the well in the garage and just go right down from the steps. And you already did your drop and you go right into your basement.
But again, we're going outside and then back inside to do that. No, I understand. I'm just trying to find a way to
get you there in maybe a better fashion than you already have.
I'm not curious to how you get to this from inside.
How do I get to the basement from inside?
That's what he's trying to get to now.
Currently, you would go out this door here, which is the kitchen, and then there's a door right here for the pantry door that you would go outside and there's steps that go down and then go back in. There's another door here to go back in.
So let me ask you. So the pantry is where it is now. That's always been there since when I moved.
So you're going to change direction.
I don't know.
No, sir.
So let me ask you this.
Yep.
I think we have a solution.
Okay. Let the engineer fix it.
Yeah, there's an architectural solution here. I'm almost positive.
Get rid of this. Right. Internal steps. Extend this over. Access to the drawing. Get rid of this wall. Right. Seal this up. Right. Get rid of this. Right. All the rock and now going down the basement. Yes. So you said you didn't have that.
No, sir. I said that there are two sets of steps. There's one behind the garage here that has a.
These are also. Okay. Use those. Yeah. Do you see what he's.
Yeah,
no, sir. You can come up. This isn't a courtroom. Well, it is, but not tonight.
Is this lower than that?
Yeah, that's a grade.
The bottom of this is a grade. And there's a. Yeah, you have. There's a floor here. You go under this.
But it's underneath that.
Underneath that is where five of the steps to go into the basement. Two doors in the basement. One is here.
You got too many doors.
Actually, probably that here.
This area there. So it's underneath.
So you don't get to this. This is a different level.
This is all that problem. This the bottom of this.
This pantry and this are not at the same elevation.
Correct. This is approximately 4 feet, maybe less than 4 feet above this. So that's why you would end up all this the band. The bottom of the pantry in this grade, same grade here, is roughly 4 feet below the bottom of the pantry. Maybe not.
But this is at the same level, and these stairs go down, and this is the door at the bottom.
Yes, sir. Correct. So that's correct.
Yeah. So this is existing. There's a door here, an exterior door. You go down.
So your plan is now is to still enclose this, right?
To take the railing out and put an enclosure in, and take the same roof line here in parallel, and I might bring this back. Just extend the roof.
So how is that different than what was proposed originally?
Because it's just a 12-foot, 2-inch addition now instead of the 20-foot.
The same. You're going to
your whole dimension.
You were just going to replace it, remove and replace. Right, so that's not a change. So.
Well,
you're leaving.
See, I have a problem with getting past the fact that it's still the same.
And then the rest of whatever you called it.
That's your top. Right?
That goes just for the footprint, not for any of the other changes that I need. And again, I don't know.
What are the changes?
Well, it has to be substantially different than what was originally proposed. It's really the same.
Taking out the windows doesn't really alter it.
It's like we're going to paint it blue instead of green.
I think.
I
mean, what was the foundation issue you said?
Well, the foundation currently there's 4-inch, 4-inch block with the railings. And, you know, do know that this had to be raised up, looking out the catwalk.
Yeah, but that's not
7 inches above grade.
That's so just the code requirement.
There is a, there is an existing masonry wall here.
Right? Only to 4 inches above the
plastic water. But it's still, yeah, but it still, it goes down. It's an extension of the basin.
Yes.
And
I said, I'm having this.
And now it's but it's,
let me ask, I understand why it should be done. I
so before these steps were put in, you know, is there in there now?
The original,
right?
How did you get to the basement?
They were okay. There used to be approximately a little bit here of steps
inside
of my damn head, where my the way the construction, these steps were taken out. And there were steps here, and there was a door here probably back in the 1950s.
Well, I think there's solutions, but I don't know that that's our response. I mean, we'd like to help. I mean, we have a couple stuff.
I still think the rises elevation to work, because you start with a well in the garage and cut your elevation down to start with and then go in. That's how we do them. We've done these before. And you do the math, and because you don't have that many steps going in from that grade. So the well, if you start the well out further in the garage, you'll have the clearances. And
again, not
that's what early. That's what designers are for.
No, I understand, but now you're looking at going outside, down the steps, back into the wetter, to go in the garage, to go in and go down.
But
there's no place along that wall to put a inside entrance into the garage.
One of the goals would be to eliminate the two back doors of the house for security purposes. The one going into the pantry and the other going into the basement.
I can easily eliminate the one that goes the back steps that go down.
Right.
But into the steps. The only reason they're there is, God forbid, something happens and you stop at the first door, you've got another egress area.
Exactly.
You go out and walk. But I'll do whatever the board wants.
The way it's set up now, you have no egress to the outside because of the railings. So, but that would give you more security. I just think that this should be looked at a little. I think there's other alternatives here, and that are really good for you, maybe better for you than what they possibly be doing. I don't know. That's my opinion.
Understood.
That would be the case. But I'm having trouble seeing any difference in the change in the applications at all in here. And we'd really love to help you. We're trying to do that and take the time to enter into that now.
Well, what I don't want to do, I hired a lawyer back in 2007, and I just think that was a horrible mistake coming in here, because this lawyer flew off all kinds of case studies and all kinds of stuff, which I don't think was good for me. I'm just a regular person, and whatever I do here, I'm not looking to hire a lawyer to figure out the...
This is a design problem. It's a design situation here.
It's part of that rest of the thing also, correct?
What?
It's also part of the
Ray Judicata.
Ray Judicata. Right. Yeah, I'll get it eventually.
The solution is a design, and designers, I think, can resolve this for whatever it's worth.
Understood.
And maybe improve upon your drawing and get you more secure.
Understood.
So that's the big thing. And the, you know, if the well can be eliminated in the back, that's one less place for people to hide. And, you know, all these things are a problem for our police department. Their recommendations are not to do them, not to have them. So with that, you know, so I think there's two issues. It's one, security, and one, just improving your lifestyle.
Okay.
I'm just, that's it. So
I think we have to
bring this to a vote.
Yeah.
The board members, those who are on Zoom, do you have any questions?
I have a question. What was the, this is Roman. What was the, in the Zoning Board of Adjustment resolution, it said the construction was done on site without city approvals. Was that putting up that that part that was built that, where you have the pantry now?
That was putting up the original installation of the enclosure, which the 2007 drawings represented when I came in for a variance. And then I removed it and put everything back the way it was.
You mean originally you had it extending all the way out, covering the garage, the stairs to the garage?
No. The ones on the back steps, no, sir. It was not all the way out to that.
So just as a question out of curiosity, if you did that construction, why didn't you do it all the way to cover the stairs to the basement?
Because at that point, I would have the interior entrance only, and if I covered those stairs completely, I would not have an exterior entrance to the basement, which brought up my point originally. If something happened downstairs, I just thought there should be two ways to get out, front door and a back door, kind of. This way, if something happens, you can just leave through the back door. If the first door was enclosed up to the kitchen, but you wanted to get outside, you still had the opportunity to go out through the back steps, which are right by the garage, and go up and go out. I mean, no furniture can go through there, nothing, no appliances can go through there, nothing of that sort. It's not big enough, but at least it's an area where if something catches fire, God forbid, you've got a way to get out.
But also, so what is different, you know, from what you just described, what is difference between now covering it and what you were just saying about not extending it back in 2007?
I'm confused because I was never covering that. I was always leaving that second set of steps. It was always there, even when the original enclosure was built.
You mean the step closest to the garage?
Yes, sir. They were always existing, and they always remained.
At what point was the pantry built?
Before I got into the house. So somewhere back in, I don't know when, somewhere prior to, I think I bought the place in 90s. I'm going to say 98, 96. I don't really remember. I could look and find out. But
well, that's obviously an existing non-conforming. I mean, was there a variance?
When they were built, we didn't have zoning here prior to 1950.
Okay, so it could have been some time before
that. So 1947 was one zone, and then 1928, I think, was the prior zone.
Yeah.
So, sir,
I'm still confused. What was the reason for the construction?
They had setbacks in there, 4 and 5, 3 and 5 feet, even back in 28. They had setbacks in the area.
I'm sorry, sir. Can you repeat your question?
Oh, I was going to say, I still am confused. What you're saying now is that pantry existed before, right? Before you bought it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what did you do in terms of construction without a permit?
I built an enclosure from the basement steps, enclosing this area. The pantry remained, but the exterior walls changed. I took out the doorway going, that was an exterior doorway. So it just became a left-hand turn hall to go down at that point, to go down to the basement.
Okay.
What you want to do tonight, you removed before.
For all purposes, yes, but I don't intend to do the complete 21 foot again. I just intend to build on to the, or I had intended to build on to the existing pantry, the existing roof line, and just extend it down to where the current railing is. And that would have been it.
And I understand that, you know, that
But all I was going to do was just take this railing out, and then build the walls here. So, and then just extend this roof line down, leaving this doorway, so that then this just becomes an enclosure, becomes safe, it becomes waterproof, and it just takes away the issues that we currently have.
Is there a public portion of this? Is there a public portion of this?
I think we should. On the simple ratio to cottage.
Mr. Goldsmith,
to get it all out.
I'm going to, if it would be okay with you, I'd like to open up to the public.
Sure.
And I solicit any comments from the public that may be there. At this time, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comments on this particular portion of the application?
Is there anybody in Zoom
who
wishes to speak on this application?
Jim's asking now.
Is that a no, Jim?
There's only one in person in here, and Amy Goldstein, and I don't see her raising her hand or anything.
Okay. She's with Brian's application. So
okay.
She's not.
Okay. Okay, Jim, are we clear that there is no one in the chat room that wishes to make comment in the application?
No.
Okay. There's no one in the commission chambers that has indicated they wish to make public comment in the application. So therefore, the public portion is now closed. Mr. Goldsmith, do you have anything last comments that you wish to make? Because then we're going to deliberate and then. Bring it to a vote.
I don't know. I guess my only statement would be that is if it's possible to consider the change of structure, change of the four things that I mentioned besides the dimensional change, and if the board wanted, I could make some type of dimensional change back there to make it work. I would appreciate it. If not, I do understand.
Well, the other side of the coin is that rather than you do have the option of tabling it at this point and coming back and consulting design professionals and coming back. Leo, could you explain to Mr. Goldsmith what that would entail and what the benefits and the negatives are?
Yeah, if you go to a vote and the board finds it is barred by this race to the cotta, then in theory, you could still make some changes and come back again and try and convince the board, hey, I made a setback change, or I did this, that, I consulted an architect, it's now different, and here's the relief I'm seeking. But you'd have to be a new application, renotice. If you table it, we could probably make an announcement that you don't have to renotice and you're gonna come back on such and such date. So then your application's in, your notices are already out, and you can, as long as you get something to the board 10 days prior to the rescheduled hearing, we can consider that. So the benefit would be the possibility that you wouldn't be facing a denial, and you might not have to you wouldn't have to renotice or republish, which can be, you know, it's a cost and a pain.
So if I was to table this, does it have to be tabled to the next meeting? Because it looks like what I would need to do would take some time.
Preferably not.
Yeah, we already have five items on that.
Oh, thank goodness.
There's time to do it. A reasonable time should be there. And if you can do it in a reasonable time in the next couple of months, that would be fine. It's not like it's pressure to that you have to react immediately and with all the load upon you. You know, it's one that has to be thought out and take some, you know, it's a little bit of time to develop.
Exactly. That's why I was concerned if it had to be next
week. We don't want to put you on undue pressure.
Okay. Then if I request to table it and I come up, because my concern is that it's not going to pass the rage judicata. Okay, I had it right this time.
Got it.
tonight. So I would rather have the opportunity to find out what alternate opportunities there are to enclose this basement, because it is important to me to try to do something here. So if I can have the time to do that, and then I guess I would let Carmela know, or my daughter would let Carmela know, if we're going to proceed, and then if we're not going to proceed, because we're coming up empty-handed. Do I come back to another meeting at that point just to have it officially closed?
Yeah, we would try. I mean, we haven't set our January meeting dates, but I think we
have one January 13th, which is set.
January 13th is set, so we should put it on for January 13th. I can make the formal announcement, and then
you can let, pardon me one second, you can let us know if you can make the 13th, but there's holidays involved and everything else, and if not, we should be able to continue it to February if needed. So again,
we can make another announcement.
Another announcement and so on. So again, to work with you and to allow you time.
I appreciate that because I'd like to try to find something that's going to work.
And if your answer is no, we're going forward as is, then on the 13th, we would basically recap what we discussed when we would vote on that race judicata. Find us race judicata, then we don't hear the application. If not, then we proceed.
The other side of the coin is just come up with a different plan, a different solution, and the race. Don't even discuss the race due to the product at all. It's a different solution because it won't be applicable.
You might even be able to develop a solution that, like, I think I'll come back to
you. Yeah, if you can develop a solution that doesn't require coming back to us.
So the issue does not come up because you have a new solution.
Got it. Understood. And I guess that would be determined by you guys if I figure out something, have the architect to work with me before I submit a drawing for it, and then I go through the process and either say it is or it isn't. Okay, I understand.
In there. It's we'd rather approach it that way with some creative, some ideas of solution rather than leave you high and dry.
Understood. I would rather table it than if I had the opportunity and try to fix it. Yeah, the last time I was in front of everybody here, whoever would have been here back 2 years ago for the awning, there were no issues, just everything kind of just went well. So I just want to try to make this same thing happen again if possible.
I think that's a good approach to it. And I hope you understand our position, and we're trying to understand your position as well.
I do. I understand. And my problem is putting up the enclosure originally, I think, was the whole problem in itself.
Yeah, but that's old news.
Understood.
You made that correction on yourself. You need to be commended for it.
Thank
you. So you stood up and you took care of your business. And that's something that's a good trait for you, sir.
Thank
you. Says a lot about you.
What I would also suggest is maybe have your architect reach out to Roger.
Right.
Roger's our city engineer and planner.
Right.
Maybe they can come up with something. Whatever your architect comes up with, he can bounce it off him. Roger, you okay with that?
I'm fine with that. Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. And I do have Roger's email. I sent some stuff.
Good.
All right. So this application will be carried to January 13th, 6:30. The applicant won't be required to republish or renotice. Check our website and check with Carmella for the type of meeting it'll be, whether it's a hybrid meeting or a Zoom only meeting, for the new Zoom login information.
Okay.
Mr. Goldsmith, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next on this evening, we have just some brief housekeeping measures. Roger, there's some ordinances that we have planned, we have been discussing. Could you bring us up to speed and what's required? And Leo, chime in on this, what the board action, if any, is required this evening. And we'll get that resolved immediately.
Yes, Board Chairman. Actually, the commissioners, the board commissioners, introduced the ordinance last Thursday evening. And referred the ordinance changes to the planning board for review and consent. That is the consent with the master plan for consistency review. So that I prepared a report that determines that yes, the master plan and the ordinance changes are consistent with each other.
And that was emailed to every board member, correct?
Correct. Yes, and actually it was the same item that we went through at the two or three meetings ago on the TV screen, I believe it was. I can read the report into the record if you'd like.
Please do.
Basically what we're doing is we're determining, yes, that this is consistent with the master plan, and we refer back to the board commissioners to adopt.
Before you do that, Roger, I know Peter had mentioned a couple of questions with regard to the setbacks to the bulkhead, to the boardwalk. Not setback, the elevation.
The elevation.
Let's go through that a little bit, just so we all understand where that is.
Sure.
Because I think there's, won't there be, and we've had several of these come in. So the issue is going to be the finished floor elevation is going to be much higher.
If they have the parking underneath, yes, they're going to be probably,
most of them are doing that.
7 or 8 feet higher.
Yeah. So to lower that, come down to the boardwalk level, it's going to be a significant drop.
Only for 15 feet. It's allowed to come out for the 15-foot setback. It has to be at the level of the boardwalk.
When it gets to within 15 feet of the boardwalk.
Right. But at the 15 feet to the house, it's allowed to be at that first habitable floor. We just didn't want that that higher deck all the way out.
I got you.
So we pulled that back 15 feet to drop it down, but it has to be near 5 feet away.
From the seawall.
From the
boardwalk.
The seawall would be 5 feet from the boardwalk.
Right, yes. And
behind that would be the deck.
Right, exactly.
And that could be at the level of the first floor.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
up to the 15-foot setback. It would be so level
from the house to
from the house out up to 15 feet from the seawall.
It can be at that
at the first habitable floor.
Right. Just
didn't want to extend, project that all the way at that height, all the way out.
So if they want, Peter, I think if they want a deck that goes out that far, they'll have to pull the house back. So in order to have a significant deck coming from the house out at that first floor elevation.
Or the court's going to create variances.
Right.
It's going to create work for the board.
Right. One of the problems,
but from a design standpoint, you want to go out your living space, yeah, and you want to be on the same level. If you've got to go down 6 steps, I mean, I think it's just good.
Yeah, we're running into some of this in Brigantine.
And I understand. Yeah, I understand what we're trying to accomplish. We want to try to keep it, you know. Down.
They don't have a boardwalk out, so they have the bay.
Yeah, the
they so you can come out back of the house for, I think, up to 10 feet, and then you have to drop down. This is the issue with the bulkhead elevation. You have to step down and then stay at that level. I think it's elevation 11, 3, 11, 11. You have to, that deck can only be at 11. The finished floor is 13.
But that's 29 datum. That's 88 datum. So that's what one.
I don't want to get into that. Okay. Just, I want to talk in real simple.
Okay.
So you come out of the house, you're at 13. And then you're that deck that comes out that doorway can be at that level until it gets within 10 feet of the bulkhead. Mm-hmm. Then it has to drop to that elevation of 11, which is 2 feet. Right? Did that math right? That's creating problems with access, pools. You want to put pools on, the ocean and bay is enough. So you have to have pools on the beach from the bay front line. So, I'm just concerned that we're creating more. I know we're trying to alleviate the requests that are coming in, the variances and things, but I don't want to create more problems by doing it with what we're trying. I know we're trying to do something, and maybe this is the way to try it, see what it does.
I think what you may see is if people want a deck at one particular level, it's got to be at the lower level, and they'll have maybe a landing and a set of steps closer to the building. So you won't see like two layer levels of deck. Mm-hmm. You'll see a landing and one big area of deck at proper height.
Okay.
Well, he'll only have 10 feet of a deck at that finished floor. Then he can step it down. How many feet?
At 2 feet above the boardwalk or something.
Unless you do a step down immediately and a small area and then go to a larger deck.
Yeah.
Do a fan or. It's a number.
Leo, help me with this. If we pull this section out and do a little bit more research on it. Does that affect our ability to adopt that ordinance?
No, I don't think because substantial change would occur.
It would stay the same, that section,
yes,
as it is now.
Yes.
We're not changing anything like that. So I think we would be.
I'd like to sit down with some architects and see what, because they look at things differently. And see, I get what Peter's saying. I've just experienced it the last 2 months in Bradenton. We had this issue with Brian's there enough, he knows what I'm talking about. That two-tiered deck is becoming a problem.
It is.
We don't want to create a problem by changing our regs,
right,
to do that. I know where we're trying to get, or we don't want these.
Well, that's the problem.
We've got a couple out there now.
The other solution is
we've got an elevation 15.
Right.
You know, that's two. And that's 6 feet above. I think the boardwalk elevation here is what? 12.
I want to say 12.
Yeah.
It can't be.
It's 11 something.
Because there's curb heights that are 14.
The dune is capped at
13.
I want to say 13.5.
Okay. Is that sea level you're talking about, or are you talking
NAD?
Elevation.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what happened with the Irby.
Right.
Yeah.
But if it,
and that's what's causing it. And that's what we're trying to alleviate.
Okay.
Because everything else in here, I think,
may make a suggestion.
We're pretty sure
that if you look at the Dorset Avenue piece or the Selby piece in there, the way the garage is done is the house. What's also missing as an option is that one part of the house is raised, and the other part, say you have 9-foot ceilings, and it comes up to accommodate the garage. The other parts of the house may have a 12 or a 13-foot ceiling going to the front. So you can also mediate the deck height by how you do your floors in your house, because you're trying to accommodate your garage. And in some houses, the garage pops up. They use a step down, and they go in, and they have these grandiose ceilings that go into the rooms and the rest of the building. So there is another interior option to work with that also.
Right, but I don't want to get into us designing.
No, I'm not trying to, but I'm just saying that there's another solution.
Right.
And the other issue is, say you have somebody that doesn't want the parking underneath next door.
Right.
Their house is going to be 5 feet lower.
Right.
And they're going to be looking up at the neighbor's deck.
Right.
So the idea was to have them all.
Get where we're trying to go. I'm just concerned that we're going to create as many or more problems.
It's valid. You're valid, Lance. You're very valid in your assumption.
Just only because I've literally Brigantine just changed their regs.
You're living it.
August.
Yeah.
And we're meeting Thursday or next week.
Right.
No, January we're going to meet.
Well, then
the issues that we create, trying to fix them.
The members.
It happened. It happened. I'm seeing one that I have a question on. I think we should look at that one a little bit more, and maybe step back.
Leo, we can segregate that from the rest of it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find what section
it is. It's okay. It's in a couple, because I think it's
R1, R3, R9.
Yeah, right. But it's the same thing.
Board members on Zoom, do you understand the discussion?
You want to get it correct.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
You just want to get it correct one time, not two times.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Just so I just wanted to make sure. I hadn't heard anything over there, so I just wanted to make sure that you were following and it was a meeting with you were in agreement.
I'll yell out every 5 minutes, Jay. Let you know I'm still here.
Okay.
We're talking about the first floor deck, right?
Yes.
Okay. What I think the best thing to do with this discussion is we can segregate that out. We'll look at the rest of the package as a whole package, and then we'll approve that. We'll look at approving that as a board vote, and then go through.
Okay.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I agree too.
Roger, continue, please.
Okay.
So the consistency report is based on ordinance 2020-026, chapter 102, development regulations, various mechanical residential ordinance amendments to section 102 by ordinance number 2020-26, are to provide zoning standards that are more practical with current zoning standards, and to clarify beachfront properties within the R1, R3, and R9 zoning districts. Some highlights of the revisions include the following. Revising height of accessory structures to be measured from adjacent grade rather than a fixed elevation. Again, it goes to accessory structures mainly. Allows decks with open gaps to not count as lot coverage. Clarifies lot area calculations on beachfront lots. Again, this permits, if your lot line is seaward of the bulkhead, you get credit for that lot area and lot coverage. Establishes a by-rate subdivision committee to reduce costs and eliminate unnecessary time delays as permitted by MLUL. Reestablishes the boardwalk as a right-of-way or street front to eliminate the concern about interior lots having frontage or not having frontage. Establishes guidelines for accessory structures and requirements, including sheds. Establishes a clear dormer allowance percentage on third floors. Establishes criteria and requirements for decks fronting the boardwalk and beachfront lots. And permits direct access from private properties to the boardwalk. Aligns the city's parking requirements with the parking requirements established in the residential site improvement standards, which is the basis for all off-street parking in the state of New Jersey. Page 2, the proposed amendments before you tonight reflect past variances granted for the above-mentioned reasons and are consistent with the city's master plan whilst providing consistent, being consistent with modern construction means and methods. The Board of Commissioners has introduced the ordinance on first reading of the November 12, 2020 commission meeting. The city clerk shall provide a referral that the ordinance will be advertised according to law and shall be scheduled to have a second reading and public hearing on the next available commission meeting, which will be Tuesday, December 10, 2020. The municipal land use law provides the planning board with 35 days from the referral date to prepare, review, adopt, and transmit the consistency report regarding ordinance 2020-26 to the City Board of Commissioners. New Jersey Statute 40:55D-26 describes the Planning Board's responsibility regarding the Master Plan Consistency Review as follows. The Planning Board shall make and transmit to the governing body within 35 days after referral a report including identification of any provisions in the proposed development regulation, revision, or amendment which are inconsistent with the master plan and recommendations concerning those inconsistencies in any other matters as the board deems appropriate. The proposed ordinance revisions advances the following objectives from the Ventnor City Master Plan of December 2016. To promote a desirable visual environment and creative development techniques and good civic design and arrangement. To encourage coordination of the various public and private procedures and activities shaping land development with a view of lessening the cost of such development and the more efficient use of land. To review the city's history, document progress, prior goals and objectives, and develop plans and strategies for how the city can continue to adapt, and thrive in the future. Include new elements for resiliency and economic development. Upon review of the master plan efforts, it became evident that items that were priorities of prior plans but no longer concerns and items that are significant concerns and now are not mentioned in the prior plans. This can be expected to some degree when reviewing prior master plan efforts in any community. However, the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy has shifted discussion and priorities of many coastal communities. Steps that a coastal community such as Ventnor must take to ensure that long-term existence has been taken for granted until recently. I have carefully reviewed and analyzed the proposed zoning changes and the master plan. Based on this review, it is my professional opinion that proposed changes are consistent with the master plan of the City of Oregon.
Ventnor
is in my report. I said Ventnor. City of Ventnor.
So. One change. You said 12-10 is a Tuesday, 12 December 10th is a Thursday. That's our next meeting, our next city commission meeting.
Okay. It will be Thursday, December 10th.
Thank you.
is.
I said Tuesday?
Yeah. Are you complete?
I'm asking, spoken of my.
Roger, are you complete with, your, with your review?
Yes, I am.
All right. Members on Zoom, did you copy that review? Board members, any discussion on that? I think it's very complete, but members, any opinions, discussions? Otherwise, we spent a lot of time on this and should be very evident, and I'd like to move it toward a vote for a recommendation to the commission for adoption.
Yeah, we could do that. I circulated a resolution number 41 that essentially just, I called it the consistency report, and I incorporated Roger's report. And in the resolution, I say the board finds that the ordinance.
Introduce the resolution, but the board will vote on it.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. And I'm just giving everyone basically a summary. Basically, the resolution basically says the board finds that board incorporates Roger's report. It's reviewed the ordinance. It finds it consistent with the master plan and recommends that the board of commissioners adopt it as drafted. I will add the caveat with the exception of the elimination of those things we discussed, which I'll put in there. That was resolution number 41.
2020.
Of 2020. So if we move that, then we should be fine.
Okay. We'll make some motion. Are you voting on that, Leo, or should I hold off?
Because you're on the board of commissioners?
Yeah.
I think you're all right. I mean, okay. It's typical to have.
Did you formally introduce it, or was that your introduction of the resolution?
That was. Someone needs to make a motion to adopt resolution number 40.
At this time, you've heard Roger, our solicitor's introduction of the motion. Do I have can I have a motion in a second, please?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. We can do a roll call vote, or
all in favor is fine.
We can all in favor.
Aye.
Opposed. The ayes have it. Recommendation is hereby adopted.
Very good. Long overdue.
Yes, a lot of hours went into this by all the board members. And Roger, thank you. And Roman, thank you for your help in that too.
You're welcome. It was a large effort by a lot of people, and I think a lot of these things will reduce the number of variances that we have to look forward to in the future.
I'd also like to acknowledge Leo and his efforts in here, and specifically and Roger as well. You guys did a great job doing this, working with this. At this time, is there any other business before the board? Okay, Mr. Callahan. Okay.
One item is an issue that you guys have been discussing for a number of months, dealing with the R7 district and tearing down duplexes, rebuilding duplexes, and 50 and 60 foot lots as conditional uses. And I'd like to have the board go back and re-explore the concept of having conditional uses for duplexes in the other zones. I've had a number of clients contact me, a number of realtors contact me, a number of architects contact me with respect to various lots and duplexes that exist in R3 districts, R4 districts, R6 districts, and in the R7 district, where they're asking for conditional uses so that you have a 50-foot lot and you can say, okay, you can build a 20-foot side, 10-foot front, 10-foot side, 5-foot. If it's 60, once again, 10, 10, go to 7 and 7, but make duplexes in those particular areas a conditional use. I say that because every other time the board has to deal with a use variance. Hillside Avenue that Leo and I just came out of the thing, that was a 2-year. A lot of duplexes on the street, but the RR1 didn't permit it. It was either a conditional use or a permitted use. So we wound up, the board granted it. Wound up in front of Judge Mendez, it was a winner. Wound up at the appellate court, it was a winner. The board granted 8 or 9 months ago, the one at 104 South Avalon. Once again, a use variance, but it was an R4, existing duplex. The board voted to grant it. Property is now 90% complete. One of the units just sold for in excess of $1 million. So you're now gonna have a $2 million rateable across the street from the library because the use variance was granted. And it's just a tough nut to tell someone about a use variance when you have these duplexes strewn throughout the city, and where you have vacant 50-foot and 60-foot lots throughout the city, where they should be, in my opinion, conditional uses to give the person the ability to build these duplexes and or side by side. The concept of density, which has been used throughout the years, I can tell you that John Barnhart and I have built through 12 houses, and they ranged from 270 to 420, which to me would be a middle class. Every single one of them sold to out-of-town buyers. And they were on Weymouth Avenue, Little Rock Avenue, and Baton Rouge. And the other houses that are selling for $1 million, they're not going to people who are putting kids in the school system. The $600,000 and $700,000 ones that you did on Newark Avenue, that you did down on Wissahickon Avenue, they're not going to people who are putting kids in your school system. They are taking a neighborhood and changing it for the better. You're maintaining your front yard, your rear yard, your side yard, your coverages, your landscaping. You're getting what you need, and you're getting rid of old, dilapidated housing that doesn't meet flood elevation. And the problem that I see is if you don't give the person the ability to do it, they won't get rid of it. It's hard on the north side for someone to come in who has an existing duplex that's not in good shape. You won't find a person saying, okay, you know what? I'll buy it, I'll knock it down, and I'll build a single family on the north side. Because you can't give that person $350,000 or $400,000 to buy it, spend $25,000 knocking it down, and spend another $300,000 building it. It's not worth $750,000 on the north avenue. Getting close. The new side-by-sides, going for $600,000. The ones that you just did across from my street on Buffalo Avenue with John Manfredi, Short Things, both went for $600,000. The ones on Newark Avenue, across from Sunday's Ice Cream, $600,000. So our prices are coming up for new construction with new ratables for this, but I think it needs some board help because it's not only on the island side. There are many older duplexes in Ventnor Heights, Dudley Avenue, bunch of duplexes, triplexes. So you have a whole area of Ventnor Heights that also can benefit from getting rid of those duplexes at ground level and building these side-by-sides on top of them to have that area renovated over there. So I just think that the board really needs to take a good, hard look at, and we had it in the beginning, and then I know where it said, okay, you can rebuild the duplexes if you had one. But I think we just have to go a little further than saying an existing duplex. I think you have to give the person the ability, if you have a 50-foot lot or a 60-foot lot, to make it a conditional use. I'm not going so far as to say it's a permitted use. But a conditional use, if he can't meet, and that forces the architect, the developer, and the attorney to say, okay, look, you want to make it permitted, then meet the setbacks, meet the criteria that the board puts on it. Meet your fronts, sides, your rears, your heights, your landscape. Meet that. You don't meet it, then bingo, you're into a use variance, and you really have to convince the board why it should work. That's project number one. I'm done.
Comment on that just a little bit?
Yeah, please.
I get that. Where I'm with you with the existing duplexes. Mm-hmm. I'm with you for the most part throughout the community. I could see that as being a positive. There are some zones that I don't necessarily agree with that, but I get it. You want the newer structures, they're older. The older ones that are there, they're not going to tear down and build a single family. I get that. And we're going to be stuck with, you know, the basement apartments and something. That's what happened. That's what you have in mind. I hate to use Brigantine as an example, we have conditional uses for duplexes in a good number of zones. But that's on a wider lot. Single family lot in most of those zones is 50 feet or 40 feet in some of them. If you want to do a duplex on that lot, it's got to be a 60-foot wide lot. It's got to be bigger. That wouldn't fit with what you're talking about there, Brian, because I don't think there's too many 60-footers.
Not too many 60, but Ventnor has a lot of 50-footers.
Right.
And Ventnor has a lot of 50-footers that are not just the 50 by 62 and a half. They have 50 by 75s, 50 by 80s. So you have the ability to, on a 50, you still have the ability to do a 20 by 40, 20 by 50, two and a half stories, gives a 1,750 square foot house that could have a 10-foot setback on the front, a 10-foot setback on the rear, 2 5-foot setbacks. So you have the ability.
Yeah, you'll be reducing the setbacks on the side.
You'd have 2 5-foot setbacks.
Is that the same as what's in that zone now?
Well, in the R7 zone, I believe it's 4 feet. And the R4 zone, I believe it's 4 feet. So you'd have a little bigger setback. And then when you had the 60-foot lot, my thought was you're going to a 6 or a 7-foot setback from the side to make it bigger. So you still have have the ability to have a 24-foot wide side by side, but you now still have 7 feet on the sides to do something with.
What I would ask is that Roger, or maybe with some help of the code office, look at those zones that Brian's talking about. And sorry, how many are there? Where is this potential? I would need to see what that potential impact is down the road of all of that. Because Brian's right. Right now, those conversions, I'll call them,
yep,
or new twins, I think duplexes is the
on top of each other. Where you
right? Yep. Yeah, the side by sides is mm-hmm. what's happening now. Yes, they're summer residents, and they don't put kids in our school. But who knows, that doesn't change in 10 years.
Well,
I mean, the trend is that it's
yep.
going away. I get that. Now we don't know what's happening.
Well, I think where the board is going to take up, and it's going to be introducing to take up this very subject.
I think that's what Roman was talking about.
What
right?
we were talking about. We're preparing maps, we're preparing other anything for the board to be able to take up this very issue and to be able to look at existing lots and look at the future on how they are and how we can better develop the community and possibly reapportion some of the lot lines and so on and make it available through ordinances and other ways that would accomplish much of what you're trying to do.
And let me see if I can talk to some of the realtors who are out in the field to give us an idea of, as Lance has said, how many other properties are out there and where are these duplexes situated? Where are these 50-foot lots, 60-foot lots that could have an impact on this type of thing? What zones are they in? What part of Ventnor they're in on the island part?
Roman's working on that.
Well, we're working on that.
Our subcommittee's working on that.
Right.
And what I've asked Roman to do is get those maps and that information to the county, and then we can give them our GIS, our construction database, that shows which ones are twins, which ones are, you know,
right.
And we can map those out and see where they would be and also tag, you know, the 50-foot lots or the 60-foot lots.
There's other ways to develop besides the duplex and going, but get these simple lots and side-by-sides or townhouses and make it available so we can get, make these neighborhoods suitable for development and at a very, very, very creatively and right. with fine dwellings. So. We're in that tune already.
What we have to be careful of is if it gets too much of a change, we'd have to come in with an amendment to our master plan.
Right.
And I think this would, right, Roman, that I think we're
right. We are now in the process of making sure we can accumulate the proper resources so that we can start considering all these changes. I think that, you know, it'll make it a lot easier for us to make the decisions that Brian's suggesting.
Good.
Roman, I'll see if I can coordinate with you, get some of the realtors to get you some of that other information.
That would be great.
Right. Spot it in.
But yeah, we're going to be taking this issue up this coming year.
I just, as I said, I'm just hearing it from clients. Right. And I'm just one, you know, one person out there, right. But you know, I have realtors call me, architects call me, clients call me.
We hear it too.
Yep, I'm sure you do.
We're hearing it, and we're prepared to work on it.
Right. Second topic of conversation. I have a client here sitting in the back. They want to open up an art gallery and a tattoo parlor down on Little Rock Avenue. I came in probably 2 years ago. There was going to be a tattoo parlor over in the property that we did on Dorset Avenue over the bridge, and took too long. The guy jumped out of the deal. And the reason that we were asking for a use variance at that point in time, Jimmy's position was because your 1978 guidelines on commercial permitted uses, tattoo parlors weren't mentioned. So his position was, since it's not mentioned, it's not permitted. and therefore you're doing it. And I had a mild disagreement with him saying from 1978 to 2018, times have changed. That two parlors are artistic work. And that if there shouldn't be, they should be a place. They're licensed by the state of New Jersey. Nail salons are licensed, barbershops are licensed. So the question was, I would like to take that tattoo parlor and come in for an interpretation to see if tattoo parlors can now be classified as a permitted commercial use. This particular person, I passed out a couple of her brochures. He's a permanent cast member on LA Inc. He's done tremendous work along with donating tattoos, donating artwork at Presbyterian. He's an artist by design. He's going to be living upstairs. So he's going to be an asset to the community, in my opinion. So that's the concept. And Ventnor has gotten to the point where I think it is on Little Rock Avenue. They've done microblading. Microblading. I didn't know. I had to be educated.
It's not rollerblading, a little tiny rollerblading.
A lot of times it's people with cancer patients that have their eyebrows tattooed. A lot of times their lips are tattooed. Lance had indicated that his parents were over in Hong Kong where the heat got off, and mother had some tattooing done and microblading. And once again, that is a licensed activity by the state of New Jersey. In our opinion, no different than tattooing different parts of the body. But I wanted to get some feedback from the board just to say, in today's day and age, is it something that's worth, because I'd rather come in for an interpretation and not have to do an interpretation and or a use variance and spend the additional fees and costs for application fees, escrow fees, that type of a thing for a use variance. If it's something that there's some positive feeling that based upon how society has evolved, that tattooing is a valid, legitimate commercial thing. Now, I can also say it would be by appointment only. There's no signs outside saying tattoo parlor, no neon sign saying tattoo parlor. Nobody's sitting out on the bench smoking some weed, none of the above. And I say that for Lance's benefit and my benefit in Atlantic City, where there are some big tattoo parlors sitting outside and the guy is smoking some weed as I go past. So
how much do you get? Does he give you some too?
Never in my life. I had smoked one cigar when I was 10 years old, watching the Friday night Gillette fights with my grandfather. Smoked a cigar, got sick as a dog, and I have never smoked another cigarette or cigar since.
The president never inhaled.
But not too many people remember the Friday night Gillette fights.
Right.
Dan Smith, thank you very much. But those are the two topics of conversation tonight, was that and tattoo parlor, to see if it's worthwhile to bring it back as for an interpretation type activity.
What would you like from us tonight, Brian?
Well, I'm just trying to get some feedback. Do I need to do interpretation and use variance, or is it something that the board would consider an interpretation with the conditions of no signings, you know, private appointment only, combined? And the art gallery is the principal issue for us.
Brian, where do you think the tattooing aspect of it would fall closest to? Like you said, hairstyles, they're all licensed. You think it falls in that realm?
I think when you're looking at
the same thing as the blade.
Right? I would think the microblading, the hairstyles, the nail salons are all licensed by the state of New Jersey through the same person, you know, in the same agency.
There's a parlor in Margate that does cosmetic stuff,
right?
Hairstyling, makeup.
Right.
And they do the microblading for like cancer patients. That where they tattoo eyebrows on. I have no issue with that.
But to take that from that to the cosmetic to an actual
body work.
Well, I think
nowadays, I think it's more similar than it was.
I don't disagree.
20 years ago.
I agree with you.
You know, it's so. Everybody.
I mean, the concept,
not everybody,
I'll be honest,
you know, tattoos are just so much more acceptable.
I met with Paul and Samantha a week ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, their concept is art studio out front, which, you know, I hadn't seen some, you didn't share this with me, But, you know, he's got an art studio he wants to do. And then in the back, he would have the area for tattooing by appointments. And I'm just looking at it. Now, I told you to go out and talk to some of the neighbors, and hopefully you've been able to do that and see where that goes.
Little Rock between Bettner and Atlantic.
Crossing Farley and Ferry.
Yeah. Where the other art studio was.
Patty Corner from North Beach Cafe.
I think you have to look at the what tattooing has turned into as a form of art, as well, and the acceptance and the social acceptance of it. At one point, tattooing was only for royalty when it first started, and it's gone the whole thing to abstinence. Total of disappearing, coming back, and it's come back as an art form. And the acceptance of it today is far greater than it ever was in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think that vendors should consider it, and we should have some guidelines for it, but that allow it, but don't kill it. I think that it has. Socially, it has reached that point. And that's just my observations. And that the city shouldn't take a position totally to be against it for all reasons.
Well, I'll think we've put an application together. And as I indicated, we have no problem putting on some conditions that it would be by private appointment only, that there's no signage, no neons, none of the above.
And that ties in with the other professional that you talked about.
Correct.
Hairstylist.
Yes.
The microblading and that kind of stuff. Yes. So I think that's something that
we're probably in that, is it that C commercial?
Besides the microblading, they go into cosmetic tattooing as well. That goes beyond that.
Yep.
That permanent cosmetic tattooing also for people that are arthritic, have trouble just manipulating. So there are other things that go beyond, and that get into that realm.
Would you like to see my tattoo?
I thought you had a brand.
I do. Thank you very much. I'll let you guys get out of here tonight. Thank you for the input on both things.
Thank you, Brian.
Very good.
Thanks, Brian.
Does any members have any other business or discussion?
Nope.
At this time, if sir, ma'am, do you not wish to make any comment before the board this evening? Yes, sir. We haven't been sworn of our
public comment. No.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted two simple questions.
You should have to say your name and address.
Okay. My name is Jim Harrigan. My address is 608 Cambridge Avenue. We talked about the shed.
Mm-hmm.
You said that it's going to be amended or put in December.
So what the board did tonight, this board recommended to City Commission that they think the proposed changes that were made by this body are consistent with our master plan. So we introduced that ordinance last week. We will have our second public hearing on it in December 10th. And then they will become our ordinances 20 days after that. Is that the statute, Leah?
Once you adopt it.
Yeah.
And advertise.
You just got to advertise.
Okay. So by January of next year, they'll be in place.
Okay. My second question, what is the elevation you can lift the house at?
So the peak of the roof cannot be more than 35 feet above the base flood elevation. That varies depending on where you are in the community.
Right.
So you're in the Heights?
Yes.
Heights or you're Cambridge?
Heights.
So you're in the Heights. So depending on where your flood elevation is, you can see homes that have been lifted.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them are probably... You would say most of them are as high as they can go. But.
No, not all of them aren't as high.
Now, if you have existing nonconformities, the state allows you to lift it to base flood plus 3 without coming to the board.
Okay.
Our ordinance allows you to go an extra foot to get your
flooring system out of the design flood and water resistant material requirements. So you're looking at, I think you're probably elevation 10. So 14 would be 35 feet above 14.
Okay.
Whatever your existing roof is.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes. Thank you for waiting this evening. Thank you for being patient.
We were entertaining for you this evening. 2 hours you're here.
Okay. At this time, may I have a motion for adjournment? Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.